Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Jussi.
Hello.
Let me start with a provocative question. Why, at the time of war, when Ukrainians are fighting for survival of their country, should we care about startup scene in Ukraine?
I think it's different layers. First is, of course, all the Europeans, we should help Ukraine at the moment during this crisis. And then second, the sort of rebuilding phase of Ukraine has started already before the war is ending. So if you are not there now, it's too late when all the opportunistic people come after the war. And then thirdly, I would say that the Ukrainian startup ecosystem is so strong. So it's a really good reason for investors to invest in Ukraine in overall. Mm-hmm. If not during the war, but also after the war.
We will go into more detail a bit later about specifics, but before that, could you just give us a quick overview of the startup scene in Ukraine?
There was some US research about from which countries come the most of the unicorn founders, and Ukraine is in the top levels in that sense. WhatsApp founder, as an example, one of the founders. It's a really good scheme in that sense that there is a lot of like education for software development in Ukraine. And it's one of the biggest or even the biggest software outsourcing country at the moment in Europe. So many, many good reasons. Because then, of course, the most scalable startups are more or less software-based. So there are a lot of good entrepreneurs, and they are really hardworking people in Ukraine. And then to add on that, there is a really good and active startup ecosystem building and good events and so on.
So could you just tell me a bit more about your involvement in all of this?
When the war started, I was in Portugal, got a call, you said, should we do something? And I immediately said yes. So something touched my heart when the war started. I have to do something. Then I was founding this help center for Ukrainians in Helsinki, helping Ukrainian army and also getting jobs to Ukrainians entering Finland, getting food for Ukrainians coming to Finland, all of that kind of things. And then after that, I got invited to a startup competition jury, becoming a jury member in a startup competition, because my work is evaluating startups, so it was natural. And then because of that, I got invitation to IT Arena and last year, and I organized the first Bridge of Trust event, which is basically bridging trust between investors and Ukrainian startups. Sort of the voluntary work became like real stuff during the process. And then I was organizing second Bridge of Trust during Slush, which is the biggest startup event in the world. It was success as well. So we decided with cooperation with European Business Angel Network, Latvian, Lithuanian, Estonian, Finnish Business Angel Networks to organize the latest one. And now it seems that the voluntary work is becoming an organization. So next steps during the next Slush, we will sort of have a founding meeting of the Bridge of Trust organization. So the voluntary work becoming a real organization.
What is your background in the startup community?
I was the founder of Balancing, which was a startup for personal finance management. I founded it in 2008. And since that, I've been helping as an advisor or every possible roles Finnish startups. So 18 years now. And I would say that I'm one of the most networked Finns in the startup ecosystem. And I'm also like a VC founder, Liquida.vc, which is then seeking for the best startups to invest.
You dropped some names of the events that from that community know and don't need any introduction, but for our audience who might not be as knowledgeable in the startup scene, could you just tell us what is, you said IT Arena, you said Slush is the biggest one for startups in the world, and then you said Bridge of Trust. Could you just very briefly, just to give us the background?
Okay, of course, Fluff has been growing fast and it's now the biggest startup event in the world.
And it takes place in Finland, yeah?
Helsinki, yeah, Helsinki, Finland. November, like something like 20th of November this year. And I think it's sold out already. But anyways, then IT Arena is sort of the Eastern European version of Slush. It was like 5,000 people now this year, and it was organized 11th time. IT Arena is a technology conference where it's also a startup track, and we were on the startup track. And then we organized this Bridge of Trust as a side event of those both Slush and then IT Arena. Three times now.
So, but the Bridge of Trust is for Ukrainian startups and international investors. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. But we're sort of building a platform for overall networking in Baltics, Nordics, Czech Republic, Poland, Ukraine. But now we are first focusing, of course, to the Ukrainian startup ecosystem because it's sort of then helping also the country westernize itself and so on.
In one of the interviews, you've said at the moment in the Bridge of Trust, the most important emphasis is on building trust rather than to find immediate funding or...
Exactly.
And what do you mean by that?
Because you don't do investments into companies that you don't have some kind of a breaching of trust element in the background. So it's really difficult to do cross-border investments if you don't have like someone that is recommending the company or having some kind of shared connections and so on with the startup. So that's why we do this long-term. We want to build a trust network, basically. And then through that comes investments as well. Actually, one of the winners of the startup competition that we organized in that we heard that they already got funding, Bridge of Trust event. So, and we are also calculating this and doing some metrics for that. I think we will ask all the investors after 6 months that how many euros did you actually invest. We continue developing this platform, so it will be, I hope it will be evolving dozens of years instead of just one event or two events and so on.
So there have been three Bridge of Trust events, right, so far?
Yeah. One in Slush and two in IT Arena.
And how has been this experience like? Have you achieved what you set out to do, or is it just the first baby steps? And how has been this experience for you?
It was huge because lots of media coverage through the event. Then it was full sold out 1 week before already. And actually there were 50 to 100 people trying to come in without the invitation. So it was a mess in the starting phase. Then, of course, in the panel discussion, having Serhi Pritula, some people talk that he might be the next president of Ukraine. And this level of people joining us and supporting us is huge. 30 different partners, Finnish Ministry for Foreign Affairs, and so on.
For our listeners, for them to know, Serhi Pritula is a Ukrainian TV personality, and he has been very involved in fundraising millions of euros for Ukrainian military. And
as an example, 18,000 drones for the Ukrainian army. So he's a national hero.
So, but tell us what you saw there. You said before the war, Ukraine was known for bright minds and great ideas in startup scene internationally. But for the third year, the war is going on. How has it affected the whole scene in Ukraine? Is there anyone left in Ukraine, or the brightest minds have left the country and doing their thing already abroad?
Of course, that has been happening as well. But I think in general, the startups have been doing this, that they have some other legal entity in some other country in Europe. So many of them have some, and this is making the investments also easier if it's, for instance, they have offices in the Netherlands, Finland, Sweden, Spain, Portugal, all of them, and Poland, of course. So that's one effect that has happened. But then they also want to build the country, so they want to keep it alive and healthy. And they, of course, the effects, there are some side effects of a war. So, for instance, people have been moving a lot to the western side of Ukraine, having offices in Lviv, Kyiv, as an example. Then, of course, the army is recruiting people, so it affects through that as well. What else would I list? I think that the positive side effect is that they are becoming more international and having more support from outside of Ukraine. Investors seeking for ways to help and invest at the same time.
Because of the war, some changes that would have taken long time are taking place much quicker. In the startup scene, I understand from what you said that also the changes for better in that exact sector have been faster than they would be otherwise. Is that correct assumption?
Yes, that's really, really correct. Did you know that also our event was sort of in the middle of disinformation campaign?
Yeah, I read about that and I wanted to ask you, and I think that's a compliment for an event like that, that even trolls and stuff like that are putting attention to you. But could you just tell our audience what happened?
Yes, I was having a summer vacation and I started to get messages from our partners that, hey, we got this kind of an email, which was sort of signed by Ukrainian government. And it was not, of course. And there was this story was that we are Russians, basically. Liquido, the founder of which I am, we have Russians as founders, and we have strong connections with Russian government. And of course, I was laughing at the first, because I'm a total Finn, and we all are. And we are supporting Ukraine. We have done that during these years. And in Finland, all of the people know it. But of course, our Ukrainian and other international partners started to ask like these questions, that what is this? And then we ended up into the biggest Finnish media, digital media, Iltalehti, and third biggest Keskisuomalainen in Finland, and got it sort of corrected right away. And we lost zero partners because of this. We have also strong support. Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland is supporting these actions. So it was a bit easier because we had those big brands supporting us.
But what does it tell you that there has been this sort of action against you personally and against an event, I guess?
I think we have been enough in the talks, doing something significant enough to get this kind of audience, that audience of trolls and so on. So I think it's a positive sign.
But still then, for people who are not directly connected with the startup scene, so what has been the most significant achievement of this project of the Bridge of Trust? There are just three events. Okay, somebody maybe have had already some first investments, but otherwise it's just a few events, few startups, few investors. What's the big deal about that? Someone could ask.
Yeah, good question. Actually, to be honest, I think the biggest influence and success was to find the local uses from different countries. So I found many investors who were sort of the local heroes in building same kind of stuff that I have been building from Finland. So I'm from Poland, actually two guys from Poland, that I'm now having sort of the local heroes that can support us to grow. I found people from Czech Republic. I found people from Latvia, many, many actually from Latvia. I'm really proud of that. From Estonia, from Lithuania, from Portugal, Spain, Germany, France. I don't remember all the countries. US, UK. So I think the biggest success was to find those people to join us, because now we can grow like locally in those countries and organize amazing things together with them and make it grow, basically.
Are we talking about helping grow Ukrainian startups or helping grow new network of startups in this region?
Yes, we are doing sort of both. So the main focus area is to support Ukraine and Ukrainian startup ecosystem, for sure, because the background is such that it happened to us because of the war. But then later, of course, we are then cross-bridging all of those different countries and startup ecosystems while doing the help of Ukraine. So basically, it's open for all the startups in this region.
But, you know, when you set out to do something, there are some large goals, small goals, and stuff like that. What would bring you the most joy when you can come to a point and say, yeah, well, we basically achieved what we wanted to achieve? Do you have such goals?
Yes, I do personally, of course, really clear goals. But we also need people to support us. So basically, we are now collecting some key players from each country to visit Slush and Helsinki next month on November, end of November. And but my biggest goal is become the biggest like network of investors, VCs, family offices, and business angels that will be then cross-bridging trust, and then through that becoming the biggest player in this field in a couple of years. It takes more time because, for instance, IT Arena was founded 11 years ago, Slush almost 20 years ago, and so on. But I think we have a pretty clear agenda. I'm giving you an example. Family offices, many times, they are not that well networked.
What do you mean by family offices?
Like families investing. So business angel is a private person, but then family offices normally have a bit bigger money to spend on investments. And then we have venture capital companies, VCs. So we are connecting all of them instead of just business angels or just family offices or just VCs. And this is what makes us maybe a bit special in Europe.
So, and basically at first you invite them and ask them to look at what the Ukrainian startup scene can offer. And then it's, you know, just naturally grows into a discussion. Oh, what's actually in this geographical area besides Ukraine?
Yes, that's really well put. It's always when people have strong trust between themselves, like investors, they are then sharing their portfolio companies and their deal flow to each other. So basically, we are growing a big deal flow for the investors joining, because then they have better networks in each countries. This is what happens in the background. So if you know someone, then that someone from that market will find you good cases to invest also in the future, not just in the events, because events are just connecting people, but the connections will then make the big difference when you have this trust people around you.
When we talk about different investors, is there a one thing that brings them together in the bridge of trust? Is it the fact that they want to help somehow Ukraine? Or is it that their business senses say that I must be there because when the war will be over, there's going to be huge opportunities? What are those aspects in your view that bring people to your event, the Bridge of Trust?
I think the first thing is that all of us, first, we didn't think about any business opportunities. When the war started, I haven't at least seen anyone that would be so opportunistic, that would have been right away thinking about some later, like success investments or something. We basically wanted just to help Ukraine. We saw that the country was struggling, and we want to help. But then later phases, people start to know more. Hey, Ukrainian startup ecosystem is actually really good. Investment-wise, there is the valuations, for instance, in the early phase, they are lower than in Finland, as an example. And then the rebuilding phase, of course, that makes us think that, of course, there will be a lot of money investments into different industries in Ukraine. So that's also now becoming sort of more like also thinking about from business point of view and then investments point of view. But I think the origin of all has been the same in different countries when these people started to think how through their professions they could help Ukraine.
You mentioned that there is also an interest from Latvian investors joining you. How did the Latvians find you, or you found them, and what brings them to your table?
Yes, Egita Polanska is the name of the person that I was inviting already to Slush, I think. And Egita then was organizing a trip to IT Arena, and then there came like 20 plus investors from Latvia. But this is all about the escalation I want to do in different countries, finding those right people who are the most networked guys in their own countries and who share this passion to help Ukraine. And when you find those, then they will be the bridges of trust sort of locally and seeking for us more investors and investments through that.
And if there are some Latvian investors listening to you right now, what be your very short pitch to them why they should put attention to Ukraine during the war?
Yeah, in investing, deal flow is everything. That's what I always say. So you have to have plenty of companies to go through to find the best investment opportunities. So basically, through breach of trust, you get that better deal flow.
Now let's talk about the spheres of a startup scene where Ukraine is stronger than others. If we look at the army, let's say, you don't have to be a military expert to understand that because of the war, because of the situation Ukraine has been put in, that they don't receive the weapons they need. They need to go do something about that themselves. And the result has been that they have, I'm pretty sure that after the end of the war, Ukraine is going to be the like in top three country in the world if we talk about drones. And that's the result of necessity. When we talk about startup scene, has war influenced maybe what they do? If we abstract from the war, what are the like the best areas that you see the brightest examples or biggest potential?
I also visited one drone factory during this visit to Lviv 3 weeks ago. And many of those companies just didn't exist before the war. So there are multiple of defense tech and dual use technology companies that have been founded because of the war. And of course, the war gives the special possibility opportunities for testing in real time of the solutions. So basically they're developed in the market, which is sort of there. If you are having some defense tech company and you want to test it, of course you have to have a war to test it, basically. So that's for sure the one number one sort of top pick, I would say, from the startup scheme. But then health tech is another example, because all of the solutions to, for instance, train the army with some AR solutions and those kind of solutions, I've seen a lot. I would say health tech and defense tech would be the most obvious ones. But also others, educational technologies, they have this for army use, for instance, different kinds of solutions for also the recovering soldiers, psychological solutions. So this is a bit like health tech area as well. I don't know. I haven't been actually thinking that much, because we sort of don't have any industry specific focus. We are seeking for the best startups in any fields.
When you talk to Ukrainians, you realize that the way they see the life after a few years of war is quite different from those who read about the war just in news. You know that it's not definite that tomorrow will come. And that's sad, but at the same time, there are people who are living the life more vitally, if that's the correct word. If you want to get married, let's get married, because in a year or in a month, maybe we will not have this chance. I just wanted to ask you, in your field, in the startup scene, when you meet with those very entrepreneurial Ukrainians who want to do something with their life, who have ideas, who want to grow them, do they differ from, let's say, startup guys in Finland?
Yes, First, I have to say the resilience of the Serbs in Ukraine. You are always seeking for resilient entrepreneurs. But these guys who are having that much of stress levels that they can handle both founding a company without the funding and then having a war in the country at the same time. So these make the diamonds. One of the biggest things is that they have more ambitious goals because they don't see only the home country to be the place to be. And they are seeking for opportunities abroad more than, for instance, Finnish startups in the first phase. So they have these side offices somewhere in other countries already. They seek for opportunities more from abroad. And these kind of effects, I would say. Because sort of the home market is not there.
So Ukrainians are more ambitious than Finns.
We can cut this off, but yes.
Okay. You said when the war started, you immediately understood that you want to help Ukraine in any way or somehow.
Yeah.
Why is that? What was the reason for you personally?
I have been trying to find the right reason. But I think it's partly because in our family, we saw all those documentaries about Second World War and Nazis killing Jews and so on. So I think that's part of the story that I have been, when I was a little kid, I was always wondering how in earth these people in Europe didn't help the Jews. How is it possible? And how would I act if something similar would happen in my life? And that never thought that it would happen anymore. But for me, I think personally, this was the button was clicked in me. To act now, or you don't have any similar opportunities within your lifetime to do something so significant.
And what have you learned about yourself, about the world as such, or your country, or your friends, or Ukrainians? What have you learned during these 2.5, almost 3 years of war, by being actively involved at first in helping Ukrainians in Finland, then going to Ukraine and trying to what you do best? Are there any lessons from this experience, or
of course,
what have you taken from this?
I knew what kind of a person I become in when this kind of crisis happens. I'm one of those people that have to act. We have different kinds of people that some don't want to even follow the war news and all of that. But I learned that from myself. Also divorced because of this happening, what happened to me, and learned also that when I have a passion to do something, I can do pretty nice things. I also learned that many of the voluntary people are actually super nice people, capable of doing amazing things. Finding those people has been maybe the most valuable asset for me personally so far. Learning also that people become more passive when the war continues. Some news don't cover anymore Ukrainian war the same way it covered in the first phases of the war. Lots of learnings. How to build the relevant, trustworthy media coverage to follow the war. I would say that normally the typical big news companies, they are late. Things have happened already 5 days before they are in the newspapers. And also understanding personally that how big effect voluntary organizations and their help, beginning of the war as an example, they are much faster in providing the help than the national level players' actions. So the political system is slow, but people are fast.
Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for explaining about this part of Ukrainian story that we actually haven't heard before.
I want to say one thing for all the Latvians listening. Be proud of yourself, because you are one of the countries that has been supporting and really supporting at least my actions to help Ukraine. Amazing people that I have met. So big, big hearts to all Galatians.
Okay, kiitos.
Ole hyvä.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies Dīvam par sarunu ar investoru Jusī Mūrikainenu. Jā, no šī laikam ir kārtējā reize, kad izlasot, noklausoties šo interviju, man atkal ataust atmiņā un domās tas, cik tomēr šis kara laiks ir savā veidā arī izdevīgs laiks dažādām inovācijām. Un mēs runājam ne tikai par militāro nozari, kur dažādas jaunas tehnoloģijas var izdomāt, būtībā Ukraina ir spiesta izdomāt gan pati, gan kopā ar partneriem, un tas pats jau attiecas arī ne tikai uz militāro nozari un uz kādiem jauniem ieročiem vai tehnoloģijām, bet arī uz jebkurām citām nozarēm, jo Ukraina ir spiesti izdzīvot, spiesti pielāgoties, un tas spiež meklēt jaunas risinājumus, jaunas idejas ģenerēt, un man šķiet, ka nu, šis ir viens no tiem piemēriem, kā sanāk kopā tie, kam ir nauda un tiem, kam ir idejas, un tad jau arī top kaut kas labs un noderīgs ne tikai pašai Ukrainai, bet nu, pēc tam noteikti arī citām valstīm un arī kā eksporta preci noteikti Ukrainai.
Tieši tā, un es esmu visai pārliecināts, ka neviens vien jaunu uzņēmums, kurš ir saticis savus nākamos investors Jusī rīkotajā The Bridge of Trust pasākumā, vai vienalga, kā viņi tur tālāk attīstīsies, vai kļūs par organizāciju vai par uzņēmumu, ka noteikti pēc gadiem mēs dzirdēsim, ka tātad šie pirmie kontakti starp viedajiem prātiem un naudas turētājiem ir notikusi tieši kādā no Jusī rīkotajiem pasākumiem. Tātad, kā jau epizode sākumā minēju, ir neviens vien visā pasaulē ļoti labi zināms jaunuzņēmums, kas sācis savu darbību Ukrainā un strauji izplaties pasaulē. Tā kā, lai izdodas Ukraiņiem arī šajā ziņā, tas noteikti nāk par labu arī valsts ekonomikai un visam pārējiem. Un protams, tad, kad karš būs beidzies, tad atkritīs daudzi šķēršļi, kas šobrīd, protams, buksē jebkuru jomu Ukrainā. Cerams, Ukrainas jaunuzņēmumi varēs ar jaunu jaudu darboties, kad šis te Krievijas izvērstais noziedzīgais karš būs beidzies. Tas šai reizei arī viss, nav viss. Ja, es domāju, ka ja jums šī intervija šķita interesanta vai svarīga, padalieties ar to, ielieciet kur nu kurā platformā, kas pienāks, vai tur īkšķīši, vai zvaigznītes, vai atsauksmes. Jā, atsauksmes droši rakstiet, tās mēs arī lasam. Var tur pat pie epizodēm, piemēram, radio mājaslapā rakstīt, vai arī varat mums sūtīt e-pasts uz drošinātājs atlatvijas radio LV izlasām. Tos noteikti, kā dzirdējāt arī Kristīnas sarunā, klausītājs jautājums tik iekļauts. Ja jums ir kādas idejas, kādas vēl tēmas jūs gribētu dzirdēt mūsu apskatām vai uzrunājam cilvēkus par kādām konkrētām tēmām, tad arī rakstiet mums, dodiet idejas. Mēs jau 88. reizi piedāvājam jums šīs te lielās intervijas par visdažādākajām tēmām, kas saistītas ar Ukrainas cīņu par izdzīvošanu, un nekad neviena ideja nenāk par ļaunu, ātrāk vai vēlāk to mēs noteikti varam realizēt. Bet jā, tas šai reizē viss. Interviju, kā vienmēr var nedēļas nogalē LSMLV atrast rakstītā veidā, un tur arī fotogrāfijas klāt pievienotas. Bet mēs tiekamies ar tevi, Richard, un ar klausītājiem pēc nedēļas, jau nākamajā ceturtdienā, kad raidieraksts platformās iznāks jau 89. drošinātāja epizode vai piekdienās 18.15 Latvijas radio pirmajā kanālā, kur ir drošinātāja koncentrēta versija dzirdama.
Jā, nu šajā reizē tas arī viss, es arī no jums atvados, un nākamajā reizē jau noteikti būs gan daudz jārunā par ASV vēlēšanām, bet nu, sekojam līdz ne tikai ASV vēlēšanām, protams, turpinām sekot un turpinām arī atbalstīt Ukrainu, un noteikti to darīsim arī mēs, kad atgriezīsimies jau ar nākamo epizodu jauniem stāstiem, jaunu analīzi.
Tieši tā, un atcerieties, drošinātājs, tas ir skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā. Raidieraksts drošinātājs.